this week, talking about the news about Justice League, could it be that we're finally getting a DC movie to look forward to?
And now, from the Fortress of Solitude, deep beneath the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, sci-fi4me.com presents The Rogues Gallery.
Big news coming out of Warner Brothers last week, and we are going to talk about it this week. Greetings, everyone. My name is Jason Hunt. This is The Rogues Gallery, our regular, semi-regular podcast discussing all things related to DC Comics, especially the filmed media, the movies and the TV shows. Joining me on the Ansible tonight from Fort Worth, Texas, he is a regular cosplayer as Penguin, for the most part. He also writes the recaps for Gotham. Jeff Hackworth is with us tonight.
Hello, hello.
And up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Dave Margosian and Ann Labs. Ann is writing, just wrote a review for Intruders, I think.
Intruder. Just?
Mm-hmm. And Dave is doing some behind the scenes work for us and updating our convention page, and we're happy to report that the number has gone over 500.
We have
hit a milestone there, so you can go to our conventions page if you are traveling anywhere in the world and you're going to a convention. You can find it on that page. If you can't find it on that page, tell us about it and we'll add it. We are over 500 and counting. You can also find the weather forecast for every city that we know of that's hosting an event every weekend from an actual bona fide meteorologist. Brian Busby does all of those weather forecasts for us. And also joining us from Kingman, Kansas, not to be forgotten, he is writing recaps right now for Brain Dead over on CBS. And he does the occasional comic book review for us as well. Mr. Thomas Townley is here.
Once more into the breach.
Oh, and you know, I am actually looking forward to this discussion. Which
newsflash?
Yes,
not something that I thought I would say about a DC Comics film for a long time. But Warner Brothers continues to shake things up. We've had the reports, of course, about the new DC Films division with John Berg and Geoff Johns being in charge. And then last Tuesday, we got, Sunday evening, we started getting rumors. There were rumblings across the internet, especially on Twitter, about a rumor. There was a rumor starting to circulate that Warner Brothers was going to drop a lot of news on Tuesday about Justice League, and they actually really did. And boy, howdy. as we say in Texas, we wrote it up, and it is a really, really, really big thing, because what they did, for those of you who are hiding under a rock or something or paying too much attention to the politics, to the election stuff, Warner Brothers invited a bunch of critics and journalists, genre journalists, people like Devin Farsi and you know, comicbook.com, Comic Book Resources, IO9, that's group, invited them to London, flew them to London to be on set during day 31 of shooting of Justice League. And normally when journalists get a set visit, they have an embargo, and what this does, and we have to deal with that frequently ourselves. Whenever we get a press release, we get some sort of a review copy of something and say, oh, you can't say anything about this until X and so date. And usually that date is fairly far off. You know, depending on the material, depending on what it is that you're doing, whether it's a review or an interview or something like that, because they want to avoid spoilers. Well, the embargo on this set visit apparently was only about a week, which is unheard of, especially when you're dealing with a movie as high profile as Justice League, one, but also as early as it is in production, for them to release the embargo on all of this information that, that these guys had. And the interviews that were part of it, there was an interview with Ben Affleck, who did the interview in costume. He had the mask off, of course, but he's wearing the Batman costume, and he's got the eye stuff around. He says, you know, Christian Bale never let anybody see him with the raccoon eyes, but you know, Ben Affleck doesn't do interviews. This is one of those things that a lot of people noted in their coverage was the fact that Ben Affleck does not normally do this kind of thing.
No.
And then you have both Zack Snyder and Deborah Snyder available all day.
Mm-hmm.
You have a scene that's not quite finished, but it's finished enough that these journalists got to see it, a scene between Bruce Wayne and Barry Allen. And they were also able to sit and watch while another scene was being filmed. And this scene involves Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Cyborg, and Commissioner Gordon. This is unprecedented.
Yes.
And it says something about the state of mind of the Warner Brothers suits.
Because
it says they're still in panic mode. They're still worried. They really, really, really want this movie to work. They really want people to like this movie because there are too many people, whatever you think of Batman versus Superman, too many people hated it. It did not make $1 billion like they were projecting it to make.
No.
And you can call it a success because it made, sure, nearly $900 million. Okay, that's nothing to sneeze at. But it didn't make the $1 billion mark. And the reviews just thrashed it.
Oh, yes.
So in the wake of that, besides all of this restructuring, producers have been fired. Producers have been moved. The entire structure of the Warner Brothers film program, project, process, organization, machine has changed because of this movie, because of this one movie that did not perform the way it was supposed to. Warner Brothers has flipped the switch and said, it's time for a course correction. And it's a major course correction. Oh, that hurt. I shouldn't have done that. So,
well, the first sign was that they let people in on day 31 instead of day 52.
Oh, I know. Yeah, because they're scheduled.
Oh, but don't phone.
Well, and they're scheduled for 115 days of shooting. So it's really, really early. I mean, they're not even a third of the way through on this. So, yeah, for them to sit there and say, okay, we're going to let you in, we're going to let you watch, because you hated the film, because you hated Batman versus Superman, we're going to bring you in for this one. It wasn't the people that were fawning all over Zack Snyder that got invited. It was the haters that got invited. It was the people...
That is smart.
Yeah.
If they're panicking, that's really smart panicking.
Well, the other thing, too, is to note... some people actually described what Zack Snyder was wearing. Because normally, when you see set photos, you see stuff where Zack Snyder is actually on set and he's working, he's wearing a t-shirt. He's casual. Not this time. He was wearing a vest and tie, I think, is one of the description, I think, if I recall correctly. But all of this information about Justice League hit on Tuesday. So, of course, naturally, we have to talk about it. But it's interesting how they're spinning this, how Warner Brothers, the PR machine, is moving on this. Because, like Ann said, this is a smart move. I think this is a very, very smart move on the part of Warner Brothers to sit there and go, okay, we got to fix this. How do we fix it? This is how we're going to do it.
And Deborah Snyder was the most on-point brand ambassador I've heard in a long time, but remarkably candid.
Oh, yeah. Well, and she even admitted that one of the things that has been quoted on a number of different places, she says, quote, "Listen, every film is a learning experience. We hear what everyone has to say because we care what the fans say." And then she says, what's really great is that where we were going is kind of what the audience was wanting, which is a good thing. We just had to take the characters from somewhere to bring them up to where they are now. And basically, that feels to me like spin. Because Zack Snyder said something similar. Basically, you're looking at a trilogy. You're looking at Man of Steel, Superman, Batman vs. Superman, and Justice League. And like most three-act stories, your first act sets things up. Your second act is the dark, dark, oh, how are they ever going to get out of this moments. And then your third act is the happy resolution where the good guys win.
Kind of like Star Wars.
Yeah, well, any of those. I mean, look at the original Indiana Jones trilogy. The second one was much darker. It was the very first movie to ever get a PG-13 film. They created the PG-13 film, the PG-13 rating because of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. So, in a typical three-act structure, that's normal. Your second act is always darker. You're always going to have most of your challenges hitting your protagonist, your hero, in the second act. That's standard, typical storytelling structure. But it really kind of feels a little bit like, oh, yeah, well, we meant to do this. We always meant to do this. And I don't think they did.
Of course not. We know that.
No.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe after they switched gears.
Well, it could be. And now the question then is, who's driving the bus?
Because, not Zack Snyder.
Well, I don't know. Affleck says this is still Snyder's movie. It's still Snyder's vision.
I don't doubt that, but I don't think he sounded very on message and Mr. Team Player. Wow.
Well, in those times that he completed an answer, sure. But you know, I mean, the reaction that Batman vs. Superman got, he says, it did catch me off guard, he says, quote, "I have had to, in my mind, make an adjustment. I do think that the tone of Justice League has changed because of what the fans have said." Now, that's a direct quote from Zack Snyder, acknowledging that there was something that happened that's not according to the original plan. So, the other thing is the question of Ben Affleck's involvement. Whether he says, okay, fine, it's a Zack Snyder's movie and we're doing Zack's vision on this thing, Affleck is on board as an executive producer. And according to the reports, it's because of the fact that he's directing the Batman solo film and there are some cross back and forth, some cross-pollination. And in order for it all to kind of fit together seamlessly, Affleck is taking a more creative role in Justice League. All fine and well and good. But Chris Terrio is still on board as the writer. And Chris Terrio is one of Affleck's guys. Terrio wrote Argo. And I have to wonder how much Ben Affleck is sitting there, because Affleck's tight with Geoff Johns right now. They're writing the Batman movie together. And Affleck has said, we're not shooting the Batman movie until I've got a script that I know is good and I like. Which is so much of a 180 from the Green Lantern movie. So let's parse this out a little bit. Let's start with the logo. The logo and the title. The title, of course, Justice League. It's not Justice League Part 1.
Thank God.
Not Justice League. It is just Justice League.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, and Deborah Snyder, of course, and you know, they're all spinning. Well, this was never going to be a two-part movie. It was always going to be a standalone movie.
Right.
Whether it's a standalone. Well, you could do a standalone movie. Well, look at the Harry Potter franchise. If you look at the Harry Potter movies or the Indiana Jones movies, they're all standalone movies.
Yeah.
They tell a self-contained beginning, middle, end story. There's stuff, yes, it leads into the next film, but you could watch the one movie and you don't have to see anything else. You don't have to sit there and go, what happens next? They're just going to leave me hanging? Huh? That's you know, the implication of Justice League Part 1, Justice League Part 2. It's just like the Avengers Infinity War movies. There's two of them, which means that we know in the middle it's just going to be cut off and we're going to be waiting for the rest of it. In this particular right. case, we're going to get a self-contained story. Steppenwolf is going to be the villain. But the idea of the title being just Justice League, that's a marketing thing more than anything else. And it reflects, I think, and you guys can chime in on this because I've been talking too much, Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. Dumb title. Absolutely dumb title.
Dark movie. Yes.
I think Justice League is cleaner. I think it goes back to, and you know, Geoff Johns could have been the one who sits there and goes, you just call it Justice League, guys. Everybody's going to know what it is. It's Justice League.
Because there's brand recognition. And yeah. It's also less of a mouthful than Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice featuring Wonder Woman and Doomsday. And
well, and the other
thing... less of a mouthful.
The rest of the credits.
Well, the other thing, too, is when you say Justice League... Nowadays, now granted, when I was growing up, they were the Justice League of America.
Yeah.
And the logo certainly has some callbacks to that. The star in the middle, the font that's being used for the official logo is similar to the font that was used on Justice League number 261, which was one of the... It only happened at one time, but it was there. It's there full on the page, and this is the exact same font. Mm-hmm. So somebody, and I'm going to say it's Geoff Johns, somebody who is steeped in the lore of the Justice League stories has some influence on what this thing looks like. But to call it Justice League in this day and age, you have a lot of people who grew up in the 90s and the early 2000s with Justice League Animated, the animated Justice League series. And... it was Justice League, and then it was Justice League Unlimited. So you're going to have that name recognition from a lot of people who grew up watching the cartoon.
That's right.
Smart merchandising comes to DC movies.
I know, right? Who to thunk it?
And then for the people who don't pay attention to the comics, they're going to be like, oh, I thought Cyborg was a Teen Titan and not a member of the Justice League. But that's just nitpicky.
Yeah, well... yeah. I'm kind of torn between opinions on that, because in recent iterations in the animated universe and of course in New 52, Cyborg has been a founding member or at least a leading member of Justice League, and you can justify it now a little easier, I think, because of how long we've had that character. I don't right. think you could still have him be part of the Teen Titans anymore. Granted, you know, Raven and Starfire are still over there, but they're kind of the old guard watching over. And for a while, there was a version of the comic where Cyborg and Raven were the team leaders. They were the mentors. And yeah. then you had the other teens. You had Cassie, Wonder Girl, you had Superboy, and all that. I think it's smart, and I think having Cyborg in does fill in a gap that the Justice League has not had anybody in that position for a long time, because you've got your magic with Zatanna, you've got your aliens with Superman and Hawkman, Hawk Girl, depending on which ones they are. You've got your detective with Batman. You've got Martian Manhunter. You've got Wonder Woman. You've got all of these powers and everything with all of these characters, but you didn't have any tech character. You know, there wasn't any computer technology related character. Steel maybe would have been the closest one for a yeah. while, but there really maybe wasn't Blue any Beetle. Kind of yeah. Well, yeah, your Blue Beetle. But there really wasn't one that just really filled that gap. And I can understand having Cyborg in there because that was one of the reasons why they had him as a founding member of the New 52 Justice League, is to fill right. that void in all of this mix of powers. So it makes sense to have him on there too. And from the reports of the discussion, you know, the scene that was filmed, apparently the rapport between Ezra Miller, who's playing Barry Allen, and Ray Fisher, who's playing Cyborg, is such that people are starting to suspect that the Flash movie could be a buddy cop type of thing between Flash and Cyborg. They've got a real good chemistry on set from all the reports that I've seen.
And not only does the simplicity of the Justice League title cover brand recognition and, you know, the ease of speaking the title, you're also leaving the door open for adding characters as you go. So you're not limiting yourself to the, you know, the magical characters like Justice League Dark or, you know, Justice League International has, you know, the international cast, of course, but. This way you can have any of the DC characters come in and out.
And, as the film does, if yeah. it does well enough.
And, right. and you just keep it going.
Well, and your second movie, of course, is going to be Darkseid. So yeah. there is room for other characters to come in. I mean, if you're looking at Infinity War over on the Avengers side, and, you know, according to all reports, there's something like 62,000 different Marvel characters are going to be in that movie. I think they can manage 12 in Justice League. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we finally get Green Lantern or Green Arrow or Black Canary or Zatanna. I'd love to see Zatanna, but she's going to be in the Justice League Dark, which is now an animated picture. That's
can I put in? Sorry to interrupt, but
no, go ahead.
With Ben Affleck and making remarks about Zack Snyder, isn't one of DC's things they're still trying to keep this a filmmaker-driven franchise, unlike the cookie-cutter perceived yes. nature of Marvel?
And that's still the idea behind the restructuring with the producers that they've got in charge, because the various different producers have been given a specific set of films to produce. So John Berg and Jeff Johns will be doing all of the DC film stuff, where you have another person that's specifically in charge of things like Harry Potter and the magic and the other science fiction things. You have a certain person that's in charge of all the romantic comedies. You have a certain person involved with all the action thriller, spy murder things. So, you know, they're lining up categories for the producers to oversee. And I think that's a smart move, because if you get somebody whose specialty is the action flick, you know, somebody like a Jerry Bruckheimer or a John Peters, and, you know, that's what they do. And they can focus and concentrate on making those work as well as they can. And, you know, because you don't make Michael Bay does not make romantic comedies. Even though it would be
interesting
to see him take on that challenge. Michael Bay doesn't make, you know, yeah, but, you know, so I think it's a smart move to realign the categories of the different films. And as part of that, of course, we've got DC Films now as a unit in Warner Brothers, which is also affecting the production, I think, since Justice League Dark is going animated. Now you have the question of what's going to happen with Shazam. Because Justice League Dark was going to be lined up over at New Line, same as Shazam was.
But let's ask The Rock.
He could show up. He could show up in the next film too. You know, like I said, it does leave everything open for anybody to join the roster at any given point. It could be a rotating roster, same as it was in the comic book.
And without the subtitle under Justice League, you don't have to worry about it. The story can be virtually wide open too.
Right.
You're not specifically pegging it into one thing, you know,
exactly. Yeah.
Like Captain America Civil War. We knew that it was going to kind of be like, you know, Civil War, the comic book, but you know, we've already discussed that. But now with the Justice League movie, just being Justice League, it could be about anything. It doesn't have to be about dark side specifically. It doesn't have to be about Starro, even though that would be cool.
Wouldn't it?
It could focus on the formation.
Yeah, except we know what this one's going to be. It's not going to be Darkseid. Since we do have, you know, the parademons and all of the nightmares and the visions and stuff from Batman vs. Superman, it has been confirmed Steppenwolf is the villain in this movie.
Right.
Okay, I'll stop thinking about the band. I'll try really hard to stop thinking about the band.
Yeah, like a fucking magic carpet ride.
Yeah.
And with the mother box being attached to Cyborg, that...
One of three mother boxes. The other ones, and this to me is kind of smart because you have a war on the planet ages ago. These three mother boxes were hidden because Darkseid was defeated at that point. These three mother boxes, they're going to do a little prologue, a little history lesson at the beginning of this movie to explain this. Zeus took those three mother boxes. Gave one to the Atlanteans, gave one to the Amazons, and gave one to the humans. Basically,
and one to the elves.
Sound like Lord of the Rings.
Rule them all, yes. But yeah, basically divided these pieces, because you bring the three of them together, it's catastrophe. But you separate them, and so now basically Steppenwolf has come from Apocalypse, looking for these three mother boxes to get them all put back together. And, of course, one of them got used by Silas Stone to save his son Victor, and he becomes Cyborg. The other one, of course, is going to be the reason why Aquaman gets involved, because Atlantis has one. And then Wonder Woman, you know, the Amazons have another one. I'm wondering if... Since Zeus is showing up in this one, if we're going to get some crossover in the story with the Wonder Woman solo film.
It would be handy.
And maybe it'll reflect her new 52 origin.
Oh, I hope not.
Actually the daughter of Zeus.
No, I don't want Wonder Woman with daddy issues. I'm sorry. I just couldn't. I can't stand that.
I'm just throwing an idea out there. I don't like the idea either, but I'm just throwing it out there because
that's why you were throwing it out.
That's right. Just throw it out, and we'll never have to talk about it again.
Well,
aren't the other Amazons appearing in this too? I heard Robin Wright was in this.
I don't know how many of them are showing up and how much, you know, what extent. I'm sure there'll be some crossover a little bit because Wonder Woman will probably be starting out on Themyscira or go back to Themyscira because the mother box is on Themyscira. So at some point we'll have to go back there. So I don't know how much of Justice League will be there or how much, you know, like I said, we've got the solo film and it's going to be what Gal Gadot says is kind of a coming of age story because we're going to be very, very far in the past. And I really hope that we address the origin, her origin there, and it's not Daughter of Zeus. I really hope they don't do that. But they're kind of steering away from that in the comic book now with Rebirth.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, with all these 10 years that were taken from them, and yeah, you know, I haven't read Wonder Woman's Rebirth issues, but apparently, I mean, from what I understand, Wonder Woman is now questioning everything that she's been told about herself, which kind of takes the Zeus origin and throws it into the mix with the magically conceived from dirt on the beach origin, and now you throw everything in the hopper, and we don't know what her origin is. Very much like they had to keep doing with Power Girl. Power Girl's origin kept changing all the time. She was Kryptonian, then she was Atlantean, then she was Kryptonian from another dimension, and it was all because nobody could figure out what to do with her. So, and now she's Kryptonian from another dimension. pre-New 52, she was Kryptonian from another dimension, post-crisis from a universe that doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, it's...
Oh, that's not confusing at all.
No, I know.
Get out the pens and paper.
Exactly.
We're going to be charts.
Can I get... is this going to come with a flow chart? So
it could very well need one. So the story itself. Here's the official synopsis for the film, and I'm quoting from the piece that was released by Warner Brothers. Fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, I have to read this like I'm narrating the radio show, right? Bruce Wayne enlists the help of his newfound ally Diana Prince to face an even greater enemy. Together, Batman and Wonder Woman work quickly to find and recruit a team of metahumans, there was an email, to stand against this newly awakened threat. But despite the formation of this unprecedented League of Heroes, who believe in justice, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Cyborg, and the Flash, there was an email, remember? It may already be too late to save the planet from an assault of catastrophic proportions. Bum, bum. So that's the
meanwhile at the Hall of Justice.
at Stanley Wayne Manor.
I so want to see the Hall of Justice at the end of Justice League.
Will it be like the cartoon show I remember?
Hope so. You know, that would be so much. And you know, that would be Geoff Johns.
Because
the Hall of Justice actually, if for those of you who have not been paying attention, the Hall of Justice actually came back. It was in Young Justice as well.
Yeah, it was.
And it's in Washington, D.C., and it basically is the way they explained it in Young Justice, and I thought this was very, very clever. The Hall of Justice is the public face. It's the showpiece. It's the museum. It's the, you know, people can come in and take the tours and whatever and whatever. But
trophy rooms, history,
exactly,
lessons.
And underneath all of that is the transport device that can take them to the Watchtower, which is the actual headquarters of the Justice League up in orbit, which people don't know about. And I thought that was a really smart way to retcon the Hall of Justice into the modern mythology of the Justice League. And it would be so cool to see that at the end of Justice League. Not at the beginning, at the end. We need some place, and here it is. That's your last shot. And then you pull back in orbit, and you see Darkseid's ship coming, and there you go.
And then Batman turns to Superman and says, "We're not going to call it the Hall of Justice."
Well, you know, Superman's dead.
Well, that begs the question of no Henry Cavill on this press junket, which disappointed.
Or is he?
Well, Henry Cavill News. He's listed. That was the most important thing on Henry Cavill News reporting.
Well, he's listed in the cast, so he is going to show up at some point.
More than halfway through? Come on.
I doubt it. No,
probably not.
There are two possibilities.
Black Lanterns.
There are three possibilities. No, we're not going to bring in the Black Lanterns. No. Too soon.
Let's not confuse.
Too soon. Because we haven't got the Green Lanterns yet. I want the Green Lanterns first.
I just really want that.
So here are the three possibilities. One, we see Superman in flashbacks.
Ugh.
Until the end when he comes. Yeah, he's not going to stay dead.
Okay, fine.
Two. Actually, four possibilities. Two, he could come back the same way as he did in the comic books, where he's not really dead. He's just mostly dead. He's in a Kryptonian state of hibernation. This is actually how they explained it. His body was not dead. It appeared dead, but Kryptonians have this ability. It's like Vulcans, the healing trance. You go into a state of suspended animation in order for the body to heal. Well, they can explain it that way. Okay, fine. That's two. Another possibility is that he comes back as a clone. Somebody tries to clone him, and he comes back as a clone, and then we get Bizarro Superman. Or the fourth one opens it up to the Reign of the Superman story, which we get the Cadmus clone, which was Superboy.
Yeah.
John Henry Irons being Steel.
Yeah.
Cyborg Superman. And yeah. Then who was the fourth one? Was it Matrix? Yeah. Matrix wasn't the fourth one. It was the Eradicator. No. The Eradicator was the fourth one.
The Eradicator.
Which, you know, you get into other Kryptonian technology then, and that ties it back to Man of Steel.
I think the mostly dead explanation would be most understandable to the biggest amount of moviegoers.
Yes, and it would also explain the mullet.
My
explanation, if he's
my
still
explanation
alive,
would be the most confusing.
What would your answer
would be the most confusing that everybody watched.
And what would that be?
I said the Black Lantern Superman. Oh, that would be the most confusing to everybody.
Yeah, we're not there yet. We haven't earned that yet.
Yeah. Oh, I know we haven't earned those pieces yet.
But now
like
the
video game, you have to earn certain pieces.
Yeah.
Achievement unlocked.
Save your box tops.
That's right.
Well, and I think if Geoff Johns is the kind of guardian protector of the franchise like we all hope him to be, I think Justice League is going to turn out to be actually a pretty good movie. The Snyders have both acknowledged that Batman vs. Superman is the darkest the franchise will ever get.
And well, that's good.
Justice League will be brighter. So
I think they threw down the gauntlet after that one.
Well,
that's
I think somebody slapped Snyder with the gauntlet after that. I really do think part of the Ben Affleck as executive producer talks were sitting, you know, I think at some point somebody sat down with Zach and said, Zach, here's Jesus. This is a come to Jesus meeting. This is an intervention. This is a discussion. No. You don't have to talk. We're gonna discuss the future of the franchise. No. Don't speak. And I think that's what happened. Because when people were asking Zack Snyder at this press junket about various different things, you know, the reaction and all this, he'd start to answer and then kind of, you know, go off and not finish answering. It's like he didn't really want to talk about the negative. He didn't like being
responsible. But at least he acknowledged it.
But I don't think he liked being reminded of the fact that people hated his movie.
Oh, well, nobody does.
No.
So when we get back, we've talked a little bit about the films. We're going to get into a little bit of a discussion about the television side of things when the Rogues Gallery continues right after this.
We are vengeance. We are the night. We are sci-fi for me.
I'm meteorologist Brian Busby. If you're traveling to a convention this weekend, especially if you're a cosplayer, it helps to know what the weather's going to be like. Rain and fur don't mix very well now, do they? That's why every week, Sci-Fi for Me gives you the weather forecast for every city hosting a convention. Those we have on our list, anyway. And that's worldwide, not just in the United States. It's part of our commitment to bring you content you won't find anywhere else. Just click on the conventions tab over at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Behind-the-scenes tidbits, production notes, casting, news, games, toys, reviews, interviews, we've got a little bit of everything. Plus, you can sound off with your thoughts and comments, and who knows, you might be in our next episode. Star Wars news, we call it Salacious Crumbs, and you can check out new episodes only on Sci-Fi for Me TV.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
We have 52 reasons to listen to this podcast, but they may change in 6 months. Now back to the Rogues Gallery on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Talking about him, just kill him.
We must monologue
And you must screw up your time travel at least 3 times during an episode. 2 or 3 times.
That's what kind of made us, you know, it's like, how can they be so inept that they keep failing in their main objective every freaking week?
Otherwise, you wouldn't have a story.
They fail, and then they create new problems. So they solve the new problems, but they don't solve the old problem.
We have cracked the formula on Legends of Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen.
But it's still a good show.
Wait, there was a formula?
There was a formula? Okay.
Magic formula.
It was wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
We'll get into a discussion about the DC television shows because yes, there is a formula, and we will talk about that on our next episode because we've got to get ready for the fall season because we've got all sorts of things to discuss about the upcoming seasons of every show, including Gotham.
Yay! Yeah. Anybody, I watch it.
Do you?
I do too.
See you. Okay, so when we get to the Gotham segment, it can just be Ann and Jeff riff on Gotham. Y'all can talk amongst yourselves. No big whoop. Have some coffee. The rest of us have some coffee. Because I, you know, it just.
I feel a sense of
journalistic responsibility that I should catch up on Gotham just so I know what's going on. But it's one of those things where you sit there and go, I got to get a cavity filled and I got half a tooth that's got to get, you know, I got to get a root canal. Which one of those do I really want to do first? And I'm sitting there going,
Root canal.
I'm wondering. It's a toss up at this point. But
do I want to watch Gotham or do I want to go bowling?
No. Because Gotham and Supergirl are still going to be on at the same time.
Yeah.
DVR, baby.
That's going to be the question. How well Supergirl performs against Gotham now that she's going to be on the CW network, because your numbers, I would venture to guess that her numbers on the CW are going to be better than her numbers on CBS.
That's what I was going to say.
That's my prediction.
Are we taping?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Hey, welcome back, everybody.
I always hit the button in the middle of a conversation. Yes,
what's
we are. Back.
At this point out?
we were doing Rogues Gallery After Dark. So.
You know, I got to thinking we should probably. That's, you know, that's actually not a bad idea to do some extra content for some of our our stuff going on, because we've got a Patreon page that is I have neglected it. Yes. And we've got a Facebook group, and we've got the Twitter followers and stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, we should probably look. You know, we talk about the CW model a lot, the fact that there are so many shows, and how Supergirl is going to benefit from being on CW because of the extra stuff, the fan chats and the behind the scenes stuff, and the extra little bits in the web videos and all of this other stuff that they've already got in place over the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, CW has really, really flourished under the leadership of Mark Pedowitz, and everybody's happy with it so far. And it's one of the reasons why Netflix and CW just made close to $1 billion 5-year deal. That means when the season is done, this fall season, you know, say, you know, what are we going to do? Season 3 of Flash? Whenever these seasons are over, they'll be on Netflix inside of 2 weeks. After the end of the season. It's unprecedented. This is the kind of deal people are going, what? Because they're not going to be in Hulu anymore at all.
No. And they can give us more content for the show, and they have the extra stuff like the Legends of Tomorrow, they had that street art segment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, check out the street art at the CW website.
Well, and they did the Guitar Hero Challenge between the Arrow and Flash casts. Remember that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of advertising stuff, advertising opportunities that CBS doesn't have any clue because they're the old guard. They're the old network.
And they have the mom. Thing with Felicity and Roy with the blood sample.
Yeah, any of that stuff, the interstitials, I think is what they call them. You know, extra stuff, web video, web episodes.
Webisodes.
Yeah, stuff. I mean, they've got a channel for that. They can put it on CWC, and they can run with Vixen. And we're going to get second season of the animated Vixen, and we're going to get a brand new Vixen on Legends of Tomorrow. So there's so many opportunities that I think are going to really benefit Supergirl, and I think her numbers, especially given the crossover potential, her numbers are going to be much better on the CW than they were on CBS.
Well, for example, Dave and I will watch Supergirl live together and tape Gotham, and then I watch Gotham in a day or two.
Right.
So it's got a broader appeal because it's something we both like, as opposed to Gotham.
Yeah. Well, so Anne's watching Gotham, Dave is not. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
Dave, why did you abandon Gotham?
Oh boy!
was it
Fish Mooney?
I think the general level of WTF-ery.
Yeah.
And he's just like, things blow up, things happen for no reason, and it's just
It Barbara? Be honest if it was Barbara.
And I've got to say, Barbara was one of the reasons for me to abandon the show. But I'm looking at you talk about things blowing up.
I think it was primarily that they were attempting to kind of tease us with things like the Joker and, you know, all these other characters. And then they would pull them out because they couldn't do them anymore because of the Suicide Squad movie or what have you. So it was just basically they're dangling the carrot in front of us. And I'm just like, you know, I'm not a vegetarian, so.
Well, now the Suicide Squad. You mentioned Suicide Squad. That's one that everybody's looking forward to. We have a lot of that impacting Arrow, because a lot of Suicide Squad. You had the whole Team X, Task Force Team X or whatever the Task Force X on Arrow, and they're all gone now. Deadshot's dead. Ish, maybe. Amanda Waller's dead. Well, we haven't seen Deadshot's body. He was in an explosion. We haven't seen a dead body. So there's always a possibility he could come back. Amanda Waller, not so much. Shot in the eye, she's dead. But, you know, as far as everybody else on that show, and Willa Holland was even talking about this at one of the conventions, she was complaining about the fact that they had this really good arc, really strong story arc for the Suicide Squad that they had to completely abandon when Warner Brothers said, we're going to make a movie. You can't have them anymore. So that was one of those things where she's like, why can't we have nice things? Why can't the movies and the TV shows have you know, why can't they play nice together? Why can't we all get along?
Those were Warner Brothers.
Although I can see, I like their new Superman for Supergirl. I can now. I'm kind of warming up to the TV universe and the movie universe, kind of separate.
Well, it's a multiverse, like Geoff Johns have said. It really surprises me that they actually pulled the trigger on casting Superman.
Really?
It does. Because this is something that's been going on for nigh on 20 years. The problem with putting Superman on television, one of the reasons why we had the no flights, no tights rule on Smallville, part of it, as I understand it, part of it was because the character was in litigation for so long, because DC Comics was in a legal battle. DC Comics and Warner Brothers was in a legal battle with the estates of Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster. All of that stuff got settled-ish. So we finally get Superman back in the movies, and now the question then becomes, well, if they're in the movies, they're off limits for the television shows. One of the reasons why we didn't get Batman, we got Smallville instead of Batman. The original idea for the show on CW was going to be Bruce Wayne. It was going to be about Bruce Wayne growing up and learning all of this stuff so he could go out and become Batman. Then Christopher Nolan came in and they made the Batman, the Dark Knight trilogy, and Warner Brothers said, you can't have Batman, but you can have Superman, but it can't be Superman. It can be Clark Kent, but it can't be Superman, because they were fighting over the rights to the character. Because there are certain aspects of Superman that belong to DC Comics. There are certain aspects of Superman, the character, that belong to the estates of Siegel and Shuster, and they are licensed to DC Comics. So if things had gone completely south, we would have had two different Superman characters. And some of the Superman mythology would be with one of them, and some of the Superman mythology would be with the other one. And it would have been a big mess.
My head hurts. Yeah.
Well, things like Lex Luthor and Metropolis and Jimmy Olsen and the Daily Planet, a lot of this stuff came out of the radio show. The Daily Planet, Perry White, and all of that, that Jimmy Olsen, they all started in the radio show, not in the comic books. And since it was a derivative work, it's owned by DC Comics. But the Superman character and the red and blue tights and the cape and some of the different powers that he has, that belongs to Siegel and Shuster. But other aspects of the character belong to DC Comics as they added powers, as they added his backstory and his origin and all of this other stuff around him. Then, you know, who owns what? It becomes kind of like Buckaroo Banzai. Where are all the rights? But now you've got, you know, the movie franchise. And for good or ill, Henry Cavill is Superman.
Good.
I think he's a lump of coal. He's a you know, stiff as a board.
He was a great Man from U.N.C.L.E.
See, agreed.
If he's got the range, let us see his range. Don't have him playing a bump on a log. I mean, why in the world are you going to do that?
Then maybe we'll get surprised, pleasantly surprised by that in Justice League also.
Well, and this is the opportunity that they have to make a course correction when it comes to Superman himself. Mm-hmm. Because Superman, my contention is Superman has yet to show up in these movies. Not my Superman.
No.
Superman hasn't shown up yet.
My problem with Superman showing up on Supergirl in season 2, I think they should have waited maybe till season 3.
Really?
Especially with the channel change, the company change, because season 1 was all about Supergirl proving herself to herself and others, separating herself from Superman, you know. Well, now since she's switched networks, she may have to do that again unknowingly with the viewers. So bringing in Superman may just, I mean, it may diminish what she earned in season 1. That's what I'm saying. We could wait till season 3, but I'm just saying she worked so hard in season 1 to distance herself from Superman and establish herself as her own person and character, and now he's going to come in season 2.
But also, kind of one thing that irritated me a bit was there were circumstances where it was very awkward to not have him there for a reason. And at least as long as he doesn't take over, it makes sense. Because
that's my fear, that they'll give him more screen time.
They won't.
too much.
They won't, because the show is called Supergirl. It's not called the Superman family. It's not called Nightwing and Flamebird. It's Supergirl. You laugh.
I want to see
Nightwing and Flamebird.
I remember the Crypto, the Superdog show. That was
Nightwing and Flamebird could very well be a spinoff.
As long as they bring back the Wonder Twins, okay?
If somewhere out there is the Bottled City of Kendor. And the Bottled City of Kendor is home to Nightwing and Flamebird. And they are superheroes. And we could tell their story. This is the city. That they could do that.
I see a web series.
It could very well be, because we've seen the Fortress of Solitude, and that's where Kandor is. Thomas, what do you think? You think it's too soon for Superman?
No. You know, you can bring him in and have him, you know, just guest star for an episode or two. You know, just fly in and say, you know, you're doing a great job, Kara. You know, I'm not going to interfere with National City. Fly back to Metropolis, or she flies to Metropolis to see him. Talk it out.
I think it's going to be a flashback.
Really?
That could work too.
Because, well, see, and Jeff, I'll disagree with you as well, mainly because
that's fine.
I've got a reason. You're not wrong. In what you say is, you know, they could very well wait until season three or have him not show up at all. They can make that work. But given how many times during the first season people sat there and said, well, where's Superman?
Yeah.
Why are we just getting Clark texting with emojis? Okay, great. Clark Kent uses emojis. But you've got Kryptonians threatening the planet.
Yeah.
Where is Supergirl? Why is Supergirl not asking her cousin for help on this? And I think it started to stretch the believability factor just a little too much.
Because Clark Kent's secretly a teenage girl?
Well, because you've got... Well, not that. The fact that he didn't get involved. I mean, you've got Supergirl fighting Kryptonians.
True.
The other Kryptonian should be fighting as well.
The reason was very weird and didn't make sense.
Well, from a story standpoint, Clark acknowledged, Kara, you've got to be your own person. I get it. I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to sit there and just step on your cape. And you do your thing. And of course, he's got his stuff going on in Metropolis, and we know that he's fighting Lex Luthor and Brainiac and all that other stuff, Titano, whatever. But for the storyline to work, Superman had to not exist. And when he, you know, even at the end, you had CG Superman also fall victim to the Tantalus field, whatever it was that they called this thing. And so, you know, she's the only one that's not affected by the mind control. You know, Superman even fell victim to the mind control. I think
Martian Manhunter, who has some of the same powers as Superman anyway.
Well, yeah, and that, you know, that could very well be that Superman knows, you know, we've got it covered. You know, John Jones is there. He's looking out for my kid cousin, and everything's fine. I think that we've got two episodes. Tyler Hoechlin is going to be Superman in the episodes. Given the fact that Tyler is 1 year older than Melissa Benoist, and since Superman has supposedly been active for 13 years up until the point where Kara actually lands on Earth, you know, you're talking about, you know, a Superman who should be 13, 14 years older than Kara.
Yeah.
I think that the Superman we're going to get is going to be part of the story that involves Jeremiah Danvers. I think we're going to get flashbacks. So we get Tyler Hoechlin playing Superman opposite Superman and Supergirl, Dean Cain and Helen Slater. I don't think he's going to be now Superman. I think he's going to be past Superman.
Yeah. I Maybe. Can see that.
Yeah, because he doesn't look like he'd be friends with James Olsen.
He doesn't look they old enough. Look like, he doesn't look right. old enough to fit into the time frame of the entire story as it's been laid out so far.
Anything they do to bring back Dean Cain would be great, because that brings back my nostalgia feels for Lois and Clark.
Well, that you was know, my he's, TV Superman. He's not dead, so you know they've yeah. got that. You know, season two is going to be the quest for Jeremiah. So you know we're going to see Dean Cain. We're going to see Cadmus again, and I really, really, really want them to bring back Eddie McClintock, because yeah. that you know. Eddie McClintock as the Guardian. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So.
Bring back the, and bring in the Newsboy Legion, too.
Oh, yes.
You have the Guardian, you have the Newsboy Legion.
Exactly. Yes, you could do the Newsboy Legion. That would be so fun. And.
And Linda Carter.
And Linda Carter playing the President of the United States. How fun is that? We had that Yay. Rumor. We had that rumor back in February. And they kept saying, you know, if we get season two, Linda's going to be president. And then we got season two, and then they confirmed it last week that she's officially on board as the President of the United States. That's going to be so fun.
But secretly also Wonder Woman.
That's well, so
yes,
awesome.
Yes. I really wonder what they're going to make her name.
Wonder Woman.
I wonder what her name is going to be, what the character name is going to be. Because you know the character name is going to be a wink at something.
It's yeah. something Prince?
It could be. It could yeah. be. The other thing that you should stop to consider too is the fact that you've got Flashpoint about to happen on the Flash, and that could change everything on
yeah.
all of the shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But yeah, you have the Newsboy Legion, the Guardian, and the Newsboy Legion. So there's another spinoff. They could go on Friday night. And well, I mean, CW's got a DC show on every night except Friday.
Yeah,
the Crypto Show. Something.
Yeah, the okay. Crypto Show. And I put this out there on Twitter a while back. I think that you should have who do we say Warwick Davis. To play Mr. Mxyzptlk.
Yeah.
And there should be a Mxyzptlk episode. Because we've got magic on Arrow. We've got alternate universes on The Flash.
You know, can we have a Constantine show?
Why not? Yeah. You know,
like, we're... No, not like a whole show. Just
you want
episode.
An episode. Yeah.
Well, I mean a whole season.
Arrow has pretty much all of Batman's accoutrements right now anyway, so why not? You know, Batmite could show up on Arrow. But you could have Mxyzptlk show up on Supergirl and turn everything on its ear for an episode or two. Greg Berlanti, send the check too.
And then have Flashpoint ruin everything that he ruined also.
Flash, you know, and this is, you know, we're getting, you know, past an hour here, but I want to, you know, Flashpoint is going to be something we're going to have to really keep an eye on, because that's the name of the first episode of the season. We know that there is going to be some kind of similarity to the Flashpoint paradox. There has to be, because the episode's called Flashpoint. It would be kind of
dumb
to not do it. But it could be dumb to do it, because Flashpoint Paradox is what set up the New 52 and ruined everything for DC Comics for 5 years. So they have to be smart about it. They have to be smart about it.
Would it be used to put Supergirl in the same universe as The Flash?
It could be. It could also, we'll see, because we've got, John Wesley Shipp is The Flash again. That was so cool. That was so cool. And we've got, the Justice Society of America showing up over on Legends of Tomorrow. And that is so cool. If they do it right. So there's potential there that John Wesley Shipp could end up playing The Flash in the Justice Society.
Oh, wow.
Flashpoint could also bring back Laurel Lance from the dead.
Right.
As Black Canary.
Because that's what we need.
Yeah, well, I hate to say it, but I'm ready for Felicity to die.
Oh, my gosh.
I am.
That's not an uncommon reaction to her now.
Well, because the character...
She's Overwatch.
The character... Not now. Emily Bett Rickards is great. She's gorgeous. She's smart. She's funny. She's got everything that she needs to have a successful career. I don't begrudge her that, and she's doing well with the character with the material that she's been given. But some of the stuff involving Felicity and Barry, Felicity and Oliver are just dumb. And Arrow is. For me personally, this is just me, Arrow is very quickly going the way of Gotham for me. Because you mentioned things, you know, explodey things over on Gotham. We have now gone four seasons on Arrow. Three out of four seasons, the season finale, the city is burning.
Again. Okay.
Why does anybody live in Star City?
So it's like Tokyo, except not in Japan.
They should stop building a city out of matches.
I tell you, you know, there's just some about it. Maybe it's its position on the ley lines.
Maybe it's more cost effective.
I don't know. Well, and the other thing on, you know, you
talk
about
really good insurance.
They got you right, right. I mean, something.
Except then you see like the slums of Star City, and then you're like, no, these people don't really have good
the
insurance.
Glades. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I just Arrow is losing its appeal for me because the storyline has just gone dumb. And when Laurel Lance's last words to Oliver are Olicity related, they've lost me. Because it's not true to the comic book. Oliver and Laurel are the item. It's Green Arrow and Black Canary. Felicity Smoke isn't even a Green Arrow character. She's a Firestorm character. She shouldn't even be on this show. And the Olicity shippers out there are just loving the fact that Laurel is dead and now Felicity doesn't have any competition. But in that scene where Laurel sits there and says, Oliver, you are the love of my life. Go be happy with Felicity. And then she dies.
I feel really bad for Detective Captain Lance because, like, he's lost both of his daughters. I mean, Sarah's time traveling, but, you know.
Yeah.
And they've both come back from the dead a few times.
Yeah. He's got to be losing his mind at this point. But anyway, so speaking of losing your mind, those of you who are listening, if you lose your mind over any of these shows, for good or ill, if you have opinions about any of those, we are going to get into more specific discussions about all of the latest news of the DC television shows on our next episode. But if you have theories or if you have things that you'd like to see in the Justice League movie or Wonder Woman or any of the DC films or in the upcoming seasons of the DC television shows, send us an email, roguesgallery@scififorme.com, or send us a comment on our main site or on all of the social media. We're everywhere we are where it's the thing to do. Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, Tumblr, YouTube, and Twitch.
Twitter.
Yes, thank you. You can leave us a comment there. You can share this with your friends. Inflict us on your enemies if you prefer. And give us your thoughts, share your theories and your opinions on this and other shows. You can find us on podcast.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, we do ask that you rate and share because it's one of the ways that we can actually find out if anybody's listening to us over on iTunes because they don't give us numbers. And that's going to do it for us. I want to thank the panel of experts tonight. Thomas Townley.
Good night.
Jeff Hackworth.
See you in a flash.
And Labs.
Have a good night.
And Dave Margosian.
Good night.
And my name is Jason Hunt. On behalf of all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, thank you very much for listening. And we will be back with another episode of the Rogues Gallery very soon.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Copyright 2016 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.